And to begin with breaking news on campus, where students have been camping out on Polk Place for several days to protest the war in Gaza and urge UNC to stop doing business with Israeli companies. It's all been peaceful, but UNC officials may nevertheless try to act this morning to shut it down. Interim Chancellor Lee Roberts and Provost Chris Clemens released a statement at 5:37 this morning, ordering protesters to disperse by 6 a.m. or face arrest. In their statement, Roberts and Clemens say the protesters are disrupting university operations by entering campus buildings overnight. We will follow this as it continues to develop. You can view photos of the student encampment up on our website, chapelboro.com. Of course, today is LDOC, the last day of class at UNC this year, also the very last day for a graduating class whose college careers began online in the midst of the pandemic. It's been an unusual journey for those seniors, but still a meaningful one, as Hamsini Sivakumar reports for Carolina Connection.
This time of year, you can see even more Carolina blue than usual. There are students in blue robes taking grad pictures by the well, and blue tents that feature fun senior activities like tie-dyeing a t-shirt from the Carolina Alumni Association.
Yeah, some people rubber band it before or after.
David Kelly, the vice president of the Student Alumni Association, said the tie-dyeing tradition has been going on for almost 20 years. For Kelly, the event is an opportunity to witness students' creativity with designs.
I think it's fun to connect with and interact with different students and just like help them express their creativity. Creativity is pretty much endless. You have numerous combinations of different colors and techniques and designs, so any student can essentially create anything.
Much like tie-dye, every UNC student's experience is what they make of it. For 2024 graduates, their start to college was unique because they entered college in 2020 during the COVID-19 pandemic. Senior Adrian Tillman chose to come to campus for his freshman year, even though classes were online.
I sometimes joke that I got two freshman years because just both years were so remarkably different in experience. But on the downside, I think that some of the things like a lack of really social community and the lack of reinforcement and structure that like a lot of the freshman classes are supposed to provide, I think that those things definitely made it a little bit harder to adjust to college.
Despite the difficulties, Tillman said he feels like he got a full college experience, even if it wasn't the same as most people's. Senior Caroline Daly's UNC experience was unique in ways beyond just COVID, because she attended two community colleges before her 2 years at UNC. Daly said her decision to choose community college was due to COVID, as she didn't want to pay as much for online classes. She says when she first transferred to Chapel Hill, a major change was the social aspect.
Because like at home, I just was doing Zoom classes and you didn't really talk much in those. And then I pretty much would just talk to my mom at the end of the day when she was done with work. So I literally would get physically and mentally exhausted. Like my social battery felt very drained at the end of the day, right in the beginning, just because I hadn't had that practice of socializing all day like everyone else in college kind of does.
Daly said she wishes she had more time and doesn't feel like she got the full college experience. But despite this, UNC did a good job connecting her to people and she felt she made a strong friend group during her time. Kelly said students now have more opportunities to have hands-on experiences. Even though students might not remember individual moments, he said he likes that the tie-dye booth provides a means for connection under the bell tower.
I think it's most important to remember your time here and what you learned. You might not remember every detail of every course or class you took, but you'll remember the experience and what it was like to be a member of the UNC community.
2024 graduates might not have started college the way they expected, but they still get to have the memorable final moments at UNC. In Chapel Hill, I'm Hamsini Sivakumar.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media. Turning to legal news now, trans rights advocates got a victory yesterday in their ongoing fight for gender-affirming health care. North Carolina and West Virginia had both refused to provide coverage for gender-affirming care for transgender people on state insurance plans, but the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that move violates federal anti-discrimination law. State Treasurer Dale Folwell issued a statement saying he disagreed with the ruling, but hasn't decided whether to appeal to the Supreme Court. Officials in West Virginia have already said they will appeal. Now to local government, Chapel Hill Mayor Jess Anderson says the town council has unanimously agreed to put a townwide bond referendum on the ballot this November. That agreement came during a work session last week. Officials are still working out the details, but it will likely be a $50 million bond, including $20 million for affordable housing and $15 million to rebuild the town's two oldest fire stations. Town council meets again tomorrow to get a budget proposal from town manager Chris Blue. Speaking of budgets, Owassa has released its proposed budget for the upcoming year, which includes a 15% rate increase. Though it's not a done deal yet, an official stressed that assistance is always available for lower-income customers. Here's Community Relations Director Mary Tiger.
We're proposing a 15% increase in water bills. And so for our average single-family household in our service area, that's going to add a little over $12 to the monthly bill. And that's certainly not insignificant, particularly for the members of our community that are on fixed incomes or have low incomes when everything else is going up. So we don't take that lightly. It's why we've sharpened our pencils. I do want to mention that there are programs that can help. Owassa has one of the oldest, longstanding customer assistance programs in the state, and it's called Care to Share. And it's supported exclusively by donations from people in the community, and it provides bill assistance to local families when they're unable to pay their bill. We're transitioning to a program where it will be even easier for folks to apply for that funding directly from Owassa, and it will provide households up to $225 of bill assistance per family per year.
That's Mary Tiger speaking there. Owassa's first public hearing on the proposed budget will be next week, Thursday, May 9th. Finally, Orange County commissioners meet tonight at 7 in the Southern Human Services Center. Commissioners will hear from a consultant on the county's long-term land use plan. They'll receive a presentation on a management services agreement for the Piedmont Food Processing Center, and they'll consider appointments to various county boards and commissions. You can get a link to that full agenda on chapelboro.com. 6:14, your time. Update now on where we started. I mentioned right at the top of the hour, UNC Interim Chancellor Lee Roberts and Provost Chris Clemens released a statement at 5:37 this morning ordering those demonstrators on Polk Place to clear the area by 6 a.m. or face arrest. A tweet from UNC Students for Justice in Palestine, the organizing group behind that demonstration, has confirmed that arrests have already begun. A couple dozen protesters, they say, have been arrested. Again, we'll keep following this as it continues to develop, but that's developing right now on campus. It is 6:19 now. Time for sports, brought to you this hour by Coldwell Banker, Howard Perry, and Walston. UNC field hockey and women's tennis were the big winners at last night's Rammy Awards, celebrating the year in Tar Heel sports. Field hockey and women's tennis shared the Outstanding Team Award for a year when both won the NCAA title. Player of the Year awards went to basketball star RJ Davis on the men's side and national champion diver Aranza Vasquez Montaño on the women's. Get the full list of winners at GoHeels.com. Meanwhile, the brackets are out for the NCAA men's and women's tennis tournaments. On the women's side, UNC is the number 4 overall seed. They'll host Navy, Wisconsin, and William & Mary for first and second round action this Friday and Saturday in Chapel Hill. UNC will face Navy in the first round on Friday at 6. If they win, they'll meet Wisconsin or William & Mary on Saturday for a spot in the NCAA Super Regional. Carolina's looking to defend last year's NCAA title, the first ever in program history. Meanwhile, on the men's side, the Tar Heels are heading to Knoxville to start their tourney run. They face Memphis in round one on Friday morning, with either the host team Tennessee or East Tennessee State looming in round two. Over to baseball, where UNC head coach Scott Forbes confirmed this week that freshman starting pitcher Folger Boaz is out for the season with an elbow injury he suffered 3 weeks ago. Despite that news, UNC moved up three spots to number 12 in this week's D1 baseball rankings. Baseball America's poll actually has the Heels all the way up at number 7. And while Boaz is out for the season, fellow Tar Heel freshman Jason DeCaro is your ACC Pitcher of the Week after tossing 7 shutout innings against Virginia Tech on Friday. He's the first Tar Heel to win that honor since 2021. UNC's back in action tonight, hosting Charlotte at 7 o'clock in Boshammer Stadium, where they've had big success this season with only 2 losses. Head coach Scott Forbes says that's thanks in part to a great atmosphere from the fans.
I thought it was great, and it should be. I mean, I'll just be honest. We should pat this place every night. I mean, look what our program's done since Coach Fox has been here. The consistency and since 2006, you know, there aren't many teams that since 1999, every single year have been right there. I'm talking like even on teams where they may not be as good, they're right there on the crust of being in a regional. And These guys, the way they play, it should be packed, in my opinion, every single game.
That's Scott Forbes there. Tonight's game starts at 7, and we'll have it all for you right here on 97.9 The Kill. Durham Bulls are also in action today on the road at Gwinnett for game one of a six-game series. First pitch set for 11 a.m. And the Carolina Hurricanes are back on the ice tonight, looking to close out their first-round playoff series with the Islanders. The Canes have a 3-1 lead in that series. Game five starts at 7:30 in Raleigh. Visit our website, chapelboro.com, for more sports news, including video from Moonchester's recent visit to Chapel Hill. Moonchester is the mascot for the Manchester City soccer team. He was in town to promote this summer's exhibition match in Keenan Stadium between Man City and Celtic FC.